ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भगवते सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमा श्लोकैर्भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी. Today we will be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 7, entitled Lord Krishna Instructs Uddhava, text number 54. Is that right? Yeah.
Kapoto sneha gunita
Hridayo kriya dharmino Drishtim drishtyangam angena Buddhim buddhya babhandutu Kapotau. The two pigeons, sneha, by affection, gunita, tied together as if by ropes. Hridayo, their hearts, grihadharmino, attached householders. Drishtim, glance. Drishtya, by glance. Angam, physical body. Angena, by the other's body. Buddhim, mind. Buddhya, by the other's mind. Babandhatu, they bound each other. Translation and purport by the servants of Srila Prabhupada. The two pigeons were very much devoted to their household duties. Their hearts being tied together by sentimental affection, they were each attracted by the other's glances, bodily features, and states of mind. Thus, they completely bound each other in affection. Purport. The male and female pigeons were so attracted to each other that they could not tolerate even a moment's separation from one another. This is called Bhagavat Vishmriti, or forgetfulness of the Supreme Lord and attachment to dead matter. The living entity has an eternal love for the Lord, but when perverted, the love is manifested as false material affection. A pale reflection of actual pleasure thus becomes the foundation of a false life based on forgetfulness of the Absolute Truth. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stavidam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghavatam Tam Sajivam Sarvetam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Dalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deven Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Bhastachare Sitarine He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Namaheshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyasha Kripa Sindhu Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Translation. The two pigeons were very much devoted to their household duties. Their hearts being tied together by sentimental affection, they were each attracted by the other's glances, bodily features, and state of mind. Thus, they completely bound each other in affection. Hare Krishna. Nice to see all of the devotees again. It's been a long while that I was able to. Now I've got an opportunity to give a class. Mobile ringing. Loving affection tone is ringing. What is this? Sorry, joking. Alright, okay. This is the nature of the material world. The nature of material world, as we can see in this very example, is a very important instruction the Avadhut Brahmana gives Maharaj Yadu. Avadhut Brahmana, he explains that he has 24 spiritual master. And in this 24 spiritual master, from some spiritual master he's taken positive thing what he should do following the examples of such gurus, and certain gurus, they teach you example what you should not do. So in this particular example, we can see Avadhut Brahmana pointing out the dangers of attachment in this material world. Something which you should not try to do, or you should work on it at least. So here, we see that the nature of the material world is that if one is attached, one has to experience the other side of the coin. That is how the material world works. It's just like if one wants happiness, one has to accept distress. Like if you have a $1 coin, you see the head of the coin. If you want the head of the coin, you got to accept the leg of the coin, the bottom of the coin. You cannot just say, oh, I just want the head and I don't want the leg. You can't say, I want only one side and not the other side. No, you got to accept the whole thing. The famous example is that of a chicken or hen. If you want an egg, you got to feed the hen. You can't expect to just take the back side of the hen and throw the head of the hen. Oh, it's costing money to feed the hen. I just want the eggs. Then I'll become a millionaire. No, it doesn't work like that. The reality of the material world is that if one wants happiness, one has to accept distress. If one wants summer, one will have to experience winter. If one wants to make money, then you got to also accept the other side of it also. That's how karma works anyway. We know the beautiful pastime of Siddhartha Gautama, Lord Buddha. He was born in Gaya. And his parents, his father and mother, was told, you should be very careful in how you bring up this child. Be very extremely careful. You should ensure that this child is always protected. Because if he sees these four problems, birth, if he sees death, old age or disease, then he will give up all material attachment. He will give up his kingdom. And the king was desperate to have a child, and he got Gautama Buddha. And so he wanted to ensure that the handsome Siddhartha Gautama was protected. So he made sure that Gautama Buddha would never go outside of the four square box or his kingdom. And that Gautama Buddha or Siddhartha Gautama was always monitored. So it happened for years. Gautama Buddha, he enjoyed all the facilities of the kingdom. Everything. As a prince, he got whatever he wanted. As he grew up, he was about to be a king. So they installed him, or they did the coronation ceremony to install him as a king. So he decided, oh, I want to see what's beyond these walls. What's there beyond it? So he wanted to go for a ride. So he asked his minister, his very dear friend, why don't you take me out? I want to see my kingdom that I'm going to rule very soon. So the king said, all right, he can do it. He can go and see the kingdom, but wait for a few days. Not now. So the king made sure that all the old people were hidden away. All the dead people were far, far away, distanced away. And there was no diseased person, and that all were in the hospital. Or there was no birth taking place. So when he made all this elaborate arrangement so that Gautama Buddha could go outside, all the citizens were awaiting to see the new prince or the new king. They had flowers, they had frankincense, all auspicious items just waiting for Gautama Buddha to come out of his kingdom. So as he came out, all the citizens wished him well. They gave him a grand welcome. So in a distance away, as he was going about looking into his kingdom, he saw something strange from a far distance. And he asked his minister, what's that? Take me down there. And he saw a small little baby born. He was saying, what is this? I can't understand. I've never seen this in my life. The minister said, oh, this is called birth. When a child comes out of the womb. And the minister gives a whole scientific understanding how the child comes out of the womb. Which I don't need to go in an elaborate description. You can read in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is explained by Kapila Dev. And then, for Siddhartha Gautama, that's a big news for him. Well, he never seen birds anywhere in his life. So he was going about, strolling around in the kingdom. He saw a very diseased person approaching him. But some of his associates made sure that the diseased person was taken away, far, far away. But Siddhartha Gautama was very, very inquisitive. He was so inquisitive, so he went and started following the diseased person. And he asked the minister, what is this? I've never seen someone in that kind of condition. All I've seen is people who are handsome, young, youthful, energetic, but I've never seen body with that kind of state of affair. So the minister explained to him what disease meant. And that was another big blow for Siddhartha Gautama. He was like, what is this? I can't understand. So he went about and he saw an old person, hunchback. He had a stick and he was barely able to walk. So that was another mind-blowing experience for Siddhartha Gautama. He's never seen a person who was very old. So he asked his minister, what is this? Because the old man was thrown inside a section of house. So the minister explained to him what old age meant. And then he went about and he saw a person going to the crematorium. And he asked, what is that? And he discovered that was death. So we can see how this whole modern civilization is based on this principle of hiding these four basic problems of life: the birth, the old age, disease and death. Birth has to be done in a secluded place in the hospital, making sure that no one is able to see. Because it's a very hard, it's not a pleasant experience to see a child being born. Yeah, obviously the father and mother is very happy and is ready to cuddle the child. But the child is crying. The dad and mom is happy that the child is crying. Obviously birth is not a pleasant experience. We can see how this modern civilization is so designed that the birth is hidden away. Similarly, diseases are hidden away. Like, obviously a few years ago when I first came to Australia, around 2001 or something like that, or 2003, yeah, so I was going through Singapore and they were having a tight security system where they were trying to prevent this particular disease called the bird flu. Made sure that anyone who came down to Singapore were tested to see whether they had this bird flu. In fact, I saw people wearing masks to protect themselves from the bird flu. So in this way we can see that hospitals were designed to keep the diseased people away. But in reality is that more the hospital you build, more the people get sick. That they don't see that. And then you can see old age, old people are thrown into the old age house, not cared by the children, but rather cared by someone strange, whom they don't know. And they're treated in machines. Like I was speaking to someone who works in the old age house. They don't personally get involved in taking care of the old people. They use machine. The machine to feed the old person. The machine to clothe them and so forth. So the old people are thrown into the old age house, and obviously people, when they are dead, they are immediately covered over, thrown somewhere else. So we can see how this modern civilization is so designed. Exactly the time of Lord Buddha's descent. To hide away the problems of life. To hide away the reality or the real problems of life. But obviously Gautama Buddha, he got some striking realization when he observed all this. So then he decided, why choose the material coin? Why should I choose the duality of this material coin? Just to seek some pleasure of the kingdom, one has to experience this true reality of problems. Birth, old age, disease and death. There is no exception. to anyone. Everyone has experienced this. So this is where monism comes about. Monism comes about. Why? Just because you're going to enjoy, one has to pay it by suffering. I don't want this. So they throw the coin away. And then they try to anticipate to get this nirvana or emancipation or being void. Obviously, here we understand the Krishna consciousness is teaching us not to artificially give up things like this. One has to be mature in their renunciation. One has to renounce with proper consciousness or proper understanding. One should not just renounce artificially, because that is not our real constitutional position. Such realization makes one fall down, as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Ravindaksha Vimukta Maninas Tvayasta Bhavar Avishuddha Bhudaya Abhudhaya. Those people think that they're very intelligent by their so-called realization, so-called spiritual advancement, but they don't realize. They fall down. They do actually fall down. But Krishna consciousness means no falling down. That is what Krishna consciousness means. And Krishna consciousness has to be taken under proper guidance. Without proper guidance, one will fall down from their position of spiritual realization. The vivid example is that of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj, he was son of Rishabhadev. Rishabhadev, he is Krishna himself. And Bharat Maharaj was the best of all kings at that time. In fact, the whole world was known after him, Bharat Varsha. He was such a wonderful king, and he was such a great devotee, that in his young age he gave up his beautiful wife and children's kingdom and all assets, and he went to the Badrika Ashram or in the Himalayas. While staying there, one day he came about taking bath in the Gandaki River. It's the Gandaki River. Anyone heard of Gandaki River before? Yeah, you heard of? Yeah, very nice. That's where the shalagrams are actually found, in Gandaki River. That Gandaki River flows in the Himalayan regions. So while he was taking bath in Gandaki River, he saw a deer, a doe drinking water. All of a sudden, there was a roar. The lion roared so loudly. The doe got frightened. The deer got so frightened. So the deer was able to cross the river. But as the deer crossed the river, just managed to cross the river, the deer gave birth to a baby deer. And the doe died. Bharat Maharaj was very overwhelmed with compassion to seeing this little baby deer. So he took this little baby deer. And from there, you can understand how the attachment to the deer grew bigger and stronger and stronger. So strong that he even forgot Krishna. So the word Bhagavat Vishmriti, forgetfulness of the Supreme Lord, is exemplified in this very sin of Bharat Maharaj, where he forgot Krishna and he became attached to the deer. So much so that his bhava or his emotion was transferred from Krishna to the deer. The stages of bhava is that one cries, one's hair stands on end and so forth. But instead of crying for Krishna, Bharat Maharaj cried for the deer. And he would get so ecstatic, his hair would stand on end when the deer would come and lick him about in his body. And in sometimes Bharat Maharaj would kiss the deer. That's how fond he was to the deer. And when the deer was very tired, he would put the deer on his chest. He would go about in the straw with a deer, and he would eat with the deer in the same plate. Sometimes he would worship Krishna in his deity form. The deer would come and would get very upset with Bharat Maharaj because Bharat Maharaj wasn't paying attention to the deer. So the deer would angrily go around Bharat Maharaj. And Bharat Maharaj thought that was the greatest pleasure. Bharat Maharaj would say, "No, you sit down." And obviously, out of fear, the deer would sit down. And Bharat Maharaj thought that was the greatest pleasure. The deer is fully dependent on me. What will happen if I'm not there with the deer? Tigers can come and eat it. Wolves can come. The bear. So in this way, we can understand how Bharat Maharaj got so fond with the deer, to the point where Bharat Maharaj actually took birth of a deer. But as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that there is no loss or diminution in the path of devotional service. Even a little advancement in Krishna consciousness can save one from the greatest dangerous type of fear. Bharat Maharaj was such an elevated soul. He was such a great devotee. So Krishna hasn't forgotten that. Krishna made sure that when he took the birth of a deer, he gave him the memory of his previous life. So the deer was able to remember his previous life and made sure that he didn't come in contact with the other deers. He would personally go and hear the Srimad Bhagavatam from the great sages in Bhadrika Ashram every day. So in this way the deer passed his life and he took birth again as Jad Bharat and made sure that he made his way back to Godhead. So that's the reality of the material world. The reality of the material world is that if one accepts attachment, then one has to pay the price for it. Happiness comes distress. Winter comes summer. And this is what Krishna points out to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna, he apparently showed compassion to his relatives. He was saying to Krishna, "How can I kill my grandfather, Bhishma? You wouldn't ordinarily kill your grandfather," Ugrasen said. "How could I kill my teachers, like Dronacharya, Kripacharya? You wouldn't kill your teachers like Sandipani Muni. And my cousins? If my cousins go away, then what's the use of enjoying the kingdom?" Arjuna was in great lamentation at that time. He was pointing out that, "I can't hold this Gandiva bow anymore." Usually Gandiva bow is always in the hands of Arjuna. "But this Gandiva bow is slipping away from my hand. My hairs are standing on end. What will happen to these innocent people? The soldiers in the battlefield. If they get killed, then their wives, children will be unprotected." So in this way, Arjuna was showing compassion to his relatives. That's natural, because he's a devotee. Being a devotee, one naturally feels compassion. But sometimes also compassion can be one's fall down. The example of Bharat Maharaj is pointed out. He showed the compassion to the deer, and then that became his fall down. So Krishna immediately corrected Arjuna. Once Arjuna accepted Krishna as his spiritual master, and he admitted, "Yes, I am confused. I don't know whether to fight or not to fight. What should I do? I don't want a kingdom, but I'd rather beg than fighting. But I don't think so that suits me. So I'm not actually happy with my situation. So Krishna, I'm very confused. Please help me out." So Krishna then gave this transcendental knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. He explained this verses starting off with natvevaham jatanasam, that you're not this body, and he explains that you're the spirit soul, and then he explains how one actually should tolerate in all respect. So in this particular verse, Krishna is pointing out to Uddhava that this avadhut brahmana, he learned from this pigeon how one should not get attached. Because from attachment comes distress, that's natural. As explained again in Bhagavad Gita, that when one contemplates the objects of the senses, one develops attachment for them. So the senses are always roaming about. If the senses are not controlled, even one of the senses, if it's not controlled, that can be bring about one's downfall. The ear, the nose, the hearing ability, the smelling ability, the seeing ability, the feeling ability has to be controlled. So if one contemplates the objects of the senses, oh, I would like to eat this, or I like to smell this, or I like to taste, I like to hear this, or feel this, and so forth, then one develops attachment for them. And from such attachment, one gets lust. Lust arises. And when from lust, anger arises. Because when you get what you want, you're not satisfied. And then you get angry. And when you don't get what you want, you still get angry. Because you're lusty. And from anger, bewilderment of memory. One gets bewildered. And from when the memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. One loses their intelligence. They have no sense of discrimination. This is good thing, this is bad thing. And when intelligence is lost, one falls down into the material pool. As Prabhupada explained, bloop. Just like a drop of water falls into the ocean. It's insignificant. Or into the pond. So here, we understand the example of the pigeon, how the male pigeon was very attracted to the female pigeon, and the female pigeon was very attracted to the male pigeon, so much so, as will be explained in the future verses, already explained in this verses, that they were attracted by the other's glances. So when the male pigeon would see, then the female pigeon would look into the eyes of the male pigeon. They always liked to cuddle each other, and their mind was always thinking about each other. So in this way, they were completely bound. They were so bound. But as we will see in the future verses, that they will have to actually pay the price for such an attachment. So Krishna consciousness teaches us one should be attached to Krishna. And everything that is around, or you can say householder life or so forth, has to be connected with Krishna. But that doesn't mean that the other side of life is not important. No, everything is important, but you must prioritize. One must prioritize. One must give Krishna the first priority, but that doesn't mean that the family life has no priority. Sure, it does have priority, but one has to put their priority in right places. If Krishna is not in the center of one's life, then obviously one will actually experience problems. So under the guidance of experienced self-realized devotees, one should practice their Krishna consciousness. As exemplified by Bharat Maharaj, because he didn't have proper association, he didn't have devotee association, that became his fall down. So there was no one to check him. Doesn't matter how advanced one may be, one must always seek guidance, one must always seek friendship among devotees, without which there surely be fall down. So under the guidance of devotees, one can actually make proper priorities in life. One can actually put Krishna in the center of life. Then the household life, then one's life, or anything in relation will be successful. Without Krishna in the center, then the puzzle is unfinished. So, we are not stones that we don't have any feelings. Obviously there is feelings, but it has to be prioritized properly. A devotee actually feels so much for other living entities. It's not that one goes blind about feeling and emotion or sentiment. No. Devotees have sentiment, they have feelings, they have affection for not only human beings, they have feeling and affection for all living entities. So all the living entities, they will not even harm an ant. Because devotees can see that all the living entities have a relationship with Krishna. And they have use in their life because they can serve Krishna. Devotees can see that. So that's why devotees care for all living entities, not just one human being or two human beings, for everyone. In fact, devotees experience this para-dukkha-dukkhi, that they experience miserable, they experience pain or suffering when they see others suffering. What is that suffering? It's not bodily aches or something, because that can be cured by the doctor or so, or you can get a new body, that can be solved. But real suffering is lack of Krishna consciousness. And that's what is explained by Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He says that there's everything in this world, but there's one thing that lacks in this world, that there's insufficient Krishna consciousness. So, a devotee sees when a person doesn't have Krishna consciousness, that is suffering. Because the soul has to experience the cycle of birth and death. Repeated birth and death. So that's why the devotees make an endeavor to help other living entities to become Krishna consciousness. And give them an opportunity so that they can associate with devotees and live in a wonderful, friendly environment among devotees. So that their journey in bhakti yoga becomes very, very easy and successful. That is the difference between Krishna consciousness and monistic, or you can say Mayavad understanding. Mayavad understanding is they except that this material world is a problem, but they don't have proper solution to solve this puzzle of this material world. But devotees understand also that this material world is a problem, but they give a wonderful way in which one can solve this problem eternally, blissfully. Devotees ensure that the living entity is connected with Krishna. That is what it means to be a devotee. Devotee points out, actually, you should approach Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And He is your master. And you should serve Him. That is the job description of a devotee. So we all hope that we can do some service to Srila Prabhupada, whether big or small. But somehow we can be a small instrument in the hands of Krishna, and in this way make our life successful. Thank you very much. Is there any comments or questions? Yes, Mataji. Yeah.
So how, as devotees, can we last question.
So, compassion is generally understood in the mode of goodness. But when one is in Krishna consciousness, so-called compassion can be one's fall down. That's natural. So in this scenario of Bharat Maharaj, we can understand the Acharyas point out that Bharat Maharaj actually didn't have proper association of devotees. Because he didn't have the association of devotees, he wasn't able to make proper decision. Devotees always inquire and make sure that what they do is correct by referring to the sadhu, by referring to the sastra. Devotees don't make an independent decision otherwise. Doesn't matter how senior or how advanced or how neophyte one is, one always requires to seek guidance. And that is definitely shown by Arjuna. Arjuna was such an advanced soul. He was such a wonderful devotee, but he never said, "Oh, Krishna, I don't need your instruction. I'm serving you for many, many years, so I can make good decision. I'm a Nityasiddha, I can make good decision." No, Arjuna is pointing out, doesn't matter how advanced you are, he's just showing an example. One has to always seek guidance to ensure that the decisions they make is correct or not correct. Devotees never go about independently making decisions in that way. Uddhava also points out in this very point, "Krishna, you're leaving. Please, please take me back with you." Krishna says, "No, I have an important role for you." And he gave this wonderful instruction. So that Uddhava can go and give these wonderful instructions to Naranarayan rishis and the sages in Vajrika Ashrama. So devotee association means always cross-referring each other and ensuring that they're making right decisions in life. Ensuring that they're making a balanced decision in life also. So, doesn't matter how one is advanced or so forth. And in this way we can actually always be protected. We can be protected when one takes proper guidance from a sincere, advanced devotee. I hope this answered your question. Yeah? Thank you. Any other points?
No?
Pardon me?
Then you will reason to lament is the lack of Krishna consciousness or God consciousness.
Yeah.
You should find that God and commit to remember that God in the center. And God's not in the center of anywhere.
Then life is a problem. Alright, thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Samaveda Bhaktivrinda ki. Gaur Premanandi.
Jai.